1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It'll be going absolutely nowhere in the Republican-controlled House, and there aren't 60 votes in the Senate to pass it either. But President Biden will go to Austin, Texas today to promote Supreme Court reform.
The president would have term limits put in place to end the service of a Supreme Court justice after 18 years. President Biden says that this would help ensure the court's membership regularly changes and that nominations for Supreme Court justices can become more predictable.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. has serious concerns that Venezuela's declaration of President Nicolas Maduro winning another six-year term does not reflect the will of the people. The Electoral Council that declared Maduro the winner is controlled by Maduro. A wildfire burning north of Chico, California, is now the seventh largest in state history. It's burning at a rate of 5,000 acres per hour. This is ABC News. In Pittsburgh.
Say her name.
Sonia Massie, say her name.
Sonia Massie, say her
a
name.
A day of mourning for the black woman shot and killed in her own home in Springfield, Illinois, by a white Sangamon County sheriff's deputy after calling for help about a suspected intruder. There were similar events nationwide. In Minneapolis, organizer Leslie E. Redmond.
We're rallying for peace. We're rallying for justice, right? It's an opportunity for us to all come together and to make sure that her life just doesn't go unnoticed or unnamed, right? And then we're obviously hoping to make sure that more black women are not murdered and bring awareness and attention.
The since-fired deputy is charged with first-degree murder and other counts. She scandalized her native Ireland with her debut novel, The Country Girls. Her publisher announced the death of author Edna O'Brien. She gained international acclaim as a storyteller, was welcomed from Dublin to the White House. Edna O'Brien was 93. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
How do you keep your water for your bird feeder? You have those little motors that go in there. Those little fans.
I didn't put those in yet.
Does your bird feeder freeze? Does your bird bath freeze?
Jim, do you remember giving him that as a gift?
You know
you
what?
You gave him that
I
as a gift.
I did. I gave you that. You've never used it.
Yeah,
I want it
back.
In
the winter, the birds use it as a little skating rink.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. And on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend. And will Vice President Harris have a new VP? We'll catch up to speed. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 84, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Crude and Dom.
The Kamala sugar high continues on the Devil's Advocates radio show, the very next one. But the ice picks are coming out for her. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. So happy you are starting your week with us. We're coming off of a beautiful weekend, and I hope you were able to enjoy it because the weather is turning around for today. In South Central and Eastern Wisconsin, we're expecting thunderstorms paired with possible hail. On the western side of the state, the risk of showers is still there, but more isolated. Stu Muck will join us in about 15 minutes with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Also this morning, we get introduced to a farm where the livestock have fins. Our own Ben Jarbo takes us to a fishery in Palmyra. Later in the hour, Wisconsin Farm Technology Days will call in to preview what's in store for the show going on August 13th through the 15th in Cadott. Stay tuned. The latest initiative at the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is a new peer-to-peer mentorship program for people interested in agritourism to get a helping hand from someone who has been in the business for a while. WADA board member Sarah Schuster of Schuster's Farm in Deerfield tells us why there's a need for mentorship in the agritourism community.
It's really important to keep Wisconsin farms in Wisconsin families. It's more difficult with certain amounts of acreage to continue to make a full income for your family solely on agricultural products. Being able to introduce some tourism aspects to a farm can be super helpful. So WADA was really hoping with the peer-to-peer mentoring program to help individuals that are interested in adding something or have added something to be able to get some advice and leadership and guidance from an existing farmer.
Be a part of the peer-to-peer mentorship program at gowiagtourism.com.
When you get to Washington, D.C., there are a lot of big barns out there. Most of them are government buildings. I'm Bob Osold from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And Tanner Johnson is with me now. Tanner is a farmer, a soybean grower in the Prairie Farm area in Barron County, director of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, and a director of the American Soybean Association, hanging out in Washington, D.C. And Tanner, how often do you get out there, and what's the philosophy of why spend the money to go to Washington, D.C.? What do you talk about as the reason to go to Washington, Tanner, with your associations?
We get out here twice a year, for sure. We have planned visits in March and July of each year. We plan them out a few years in advance, and unfortunately we happen to be out here during the same time that the Republican National Convention was going on in Milwaukee, so we had a unique visit but still made the most of our time. We are meeting with staff from Congress, both in the Senate and the House, also meeting with some of the agencies, the USDA, EPA, et cetera. And then we actually had a chance to do a little off-script adventures this week because of the RNC, and we actually visited with the Embassy of Morocco.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But first of all, first things first, Farm Bill. Did you get any satisfaction from any of the congressmen you did meet with, or senators or staffers, that we will have a farm bill, or is it the consensus that another extension is in the works?
Don't quote me, and you can't promise, because I can never predict what's going to happen out here. But there was a degree of optimism of getting something done. Obviously, we got that little event coming up in November called the presidential election. That might change a couple things with the farm bill, but there's a degree of optimism getting something done. Obviously, not as fast as any farmer would wish for, but there's a degree of optimism, and I will say I was actually impressed with the amount of folks coming across the aisle to collaborate and get something done. So I'm leaving this trip a little more optimistic than I did in March.
Well, that's good to hear. What about as far as the soybean industry is concerned? We have the House Ag Committee has marked up their bill. The Senate Ag Committee hasn't. So as far as policy in this bill related to the soybean producers, what are you seeing there that you're hopeful will be in this bill when it is finally done?
Obviously, protecting crop insurance, given the weather we've had this year in Wisconsin, it certainly hits home. parts of the state are still underwater. Where my wife is from on the eastern side of the state, I believe they're replant perhaps. And then I know in Barron County we've had our challenges with too much moisture as well. So obviously protecting crop insurance, and then we're looking to double map an FMD. We really need that Title I farm safety net. It's not a program you ever want to have to utilize, but years like this remind us of why we may need it. Both sides of the aisle seemed receptive. I really mean it when I say I'm leaving with a degree of optimism.
Did you hear the positive note from anybody in Washington that enough funding is going to be available? No new funding, it doesn't sound like, but a funding available for these programs to continue.
That's what it sounded like. There was a lot of conversation, and I think people are starting to maybe understand that protecting farmers is protecting food security, and we have a large hand in making sure that a very well-fed country is going to be a successful one. But yes, I think funding will be available, but again, I'm not going to make any promises.
As far as trade is concerned, we know our exports are off. Soybean exports are down. China buying a lot from Brazil. Did you get to the trade ambassador's office? And again, we're talking tariffs. I don't think a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that say we're going to put on tariffs understand the backlash from tariffs. What did you get accomplished or discussed at least regarding trade, foreign trade? We got to trade with the world.
Yeah, it comes up no matter what. No matter what office we go in, we remind them that China is our largest trade partner. And it probably hits a little closer to home in the soybean industry, because that's not a market that just popped up overnight. China didn't just start calling American exporters looking for beans. American soybean farmers went over there, spent their own time, their own money, put in their own effort and developed that market. And that's a relationship we're really strong with, and we really think we have a very superior product. Obviously, Brazil is outproducing us right now, but we have a fantastic product coming out of America, specifically Wisconsin. The Chinese people deserve to be fed no matter what, whether we agree on politics or not. And that's something that we press home both sides of the aisle. I think we get a very positive response when we look at it that way.
Did you talk to the trade ambassador or anybody in that office to get any kind of an update on trade, not only with China, but around the world?
The executive committee of the American Soybean Association was meeting with higher-ups on the trade side of things and USDA. And rest assured, those conversations are going on.
Another issue that's come up most recently is this sustainable aviation fuel, and that's getting batted around by all sides. Did you talk about that while you were in Washington at all?
We did. We talked about biofuels in general. So if it is the pleasure of the people to clean up emissions and create a more sustainable form of energy, soybean farmers have a solution today, ready to go. And we bring up sustainable aviation fuel. We bring up soy-based biodiesel, bioheat, and there's momentum, not enough in my opinion, but there's momentum going forward, trying to work with the different agencies to understand that perhaps electric vehicles aren't quite as promising as we maybe thought they were, or they maybe thought they were. But today, right now, soybean farmers are the people who could provide a very clean and efficient opportunity to lower emissions. And I think we have a solution that people aren't maybe appreciating, a simple fact, but it comes from this country, and that's going to increase domestic demand, and we're going to be accomplishing a goal of cleaning up emissions.
Let's get back to that topic you sound really excited about, your visit with the Moroccan embassy. How'd that come about, and what did you talk about, and did you get anything accomplished, sign on the dotted line, so to speak?
Nothing signed. I don't want to overpromise, underdeliver, but there's a lot of opportunities that can come with shipping product out of the St. Lawrence Seaway. If we were able to get the Port of Superior, Port of Duluth back open, shipping soybeans out or something, along with the Port of Milwaukee, DeLong Company invested a lot of money into getting a terminal there. So they're beginning to ship soybeans out. The size of the vessel that goes to the St. Lawrence Seaway is actually very compatible with what the ports in Morocco can handle. So a little background is, if they're leaving through a larger port out of this country, they usually have to go up to the Netherlands or another port and on a large cargo ship, and then get recontainered and put into a smaller ship, then to Morocco. Well, if we go straight from the St. Lawrence Seaway right to Morocco, we don't have to recontainer, and we're going to look at shaving off for 5 to 10 days on that trip, and that's a lot of money. Opposed to getting a fresher product if we're shipping them soybeans or soy meal. So I think there's a large opportunity. Morocco is also a large producer and exporter of phosphate fertilizer. So if they could be sending that here and we could be sending soy products back, that's a match made in heaven. We need some help on the trade side of things. There's currently duties put on there, and I want to say in October that gets reassessed. So we had a lot of good conversations about how to get policymakers to understand that Morocco has been a friend of ours. And I learned that Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States as its own independent country. So you cannot find an older friend of this country than the country of Morocco.
Is this a solid prospect, or is it still something we're going to have to negotiate more with?
It's a solid prospect. The negotiations are going to happen right up until the decision's made on duties. It doesn't make sense for them to send a product here and then get 14% strapped right on the back of it. It's not a replacement for China, and I don't mean to maybe emphasize it quite as much as that, but it's a new opportunity. And if we can bring phosphate fertilizer right into Wisconsin, we wouldn't have to deal with the problems that we currently face when we get a lot of rain. Bringing fertilizer off of the Mississippi River can be a real challenge. Sometimes they're going into Iowa or Missouri just to go get fertilizer. So with the St. Lawrence Seaway being back up and running for commodities like that, we have an opportunity to maybe help ourselves on the input and output side of soybean farming.
A worthwhile trip, as always, to Washington, D.C. Tanner Johnson, again, a director with the Wisconsin Soybean Association, as well as the American Soybean Association, solving some of the challenges that face farmers and soybean growers specifically. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwaba Haba? Or Schwabidada? Or Schwaba Daba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwaba Daba Ding Dong. With a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
That's what we can do, Johnny. We can start a new mafia. Okay. You're the Italian. I could act.
You're the accountant.
I could
You're
act.
You're the whole thing.
I'd like to do more than accounting. But
no, yeah. I know. But you know what I mean? Well, that's just the...
Okay.
But I say the accountant.
Todd would
like,
be...
That
like,
sounds like a good name.
Jim, you could run the east side, okay?
Yeah, that's right. I'll take the east side.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
Tune into the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll react to the news from the weekend and talk about the issues impacting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Fields, but also in home gardens and in ornamental plantings and yards, so flowers and trees and shrubs and things like that. In A couple of things that stand out to me would be some pests like earwigs, which are mostly active after dark, and they can chew notches in leaves. And so if you are a farmer or a gardener and you look at your plants and you can't figure out what's causing the damage, one suggestion I have been throwing out there to folks is head out after dark with a flashlight or a headlamp, because earwigs can cause damage after dark.
If you do want to get out there with your headlight or your lamp, you might want to wait for a better forecast than what we have for you today. It's time now for your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Stu Muck along with us. He's our ag meteorologist. Stu, any severe weather today that we should be aware of?
There's a small possibility, Stephanie. I'd expect that, especially in far southern Wisconsin. I mean, the radar this morning really showing quite the area of showers, some moderate and heavier rains and thunderstorms in western parts of Illinois, Quincy, up to the Quad Cities, that kind of an area, and just basically south of the Wisconsin border. Oh, I know, there's a narrow band of rain south of Madison extending north and down along the Mississippi that will sweep into the east and southeast during the day. But low pressure is going to skirt around southern Wisconsin today, ending up near parts of northeast Illinois, northwest Indiana by this time tomorrow. What we're going to see is that buildup of heat and humidity, the real summertime weather, and that summertime weather could touch off some shower storm chances, especially as we make our way this morning in the south, maybe midday or early afternoon further north. But I expect then that clears out of here. In southern Wisconsin, maybe another quarter of an inch of rain a possibility. Further north, certainly a lot less. We're not out of the woods. That system moves by. A warm front holds off to the south, starts rising north. A late day shower or storm again, a slight chance late Tuesday, and a little greater possibility a little later Wednesday or into Wednesday evening. And that Wednesday evening on toward Thursday is when more measurable rains may start adding up. Some quarter to half inch rain amounts into Wednesday, and then maybe another quarter to half on Thursday. That should be the end of our real wet weather. I'm anticipating then looking on toward next weekend. A slight chance Friday, drying it out Saturday and Sunday. Still very warm. Temperatures will indeed push up into the mid and upper 80s here in the next several days. Add the humidity, going to be a very sticky and uncomfortable time frame right through the week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Not too many rainfall reports from any of the light showers this weekend, especially yesterday. I do expect some more activity after today. You can send us a text at 877-301-3276. That's 877-301-FARM. Stu, thanks for sending your report in of what was happening in the field. The Empire Threshing Association getting oats off the ground. It looked like a beautiful weekend for that. I might post those pictures later today on our Facebook page, but it doesn't look like the forecast is too pretty anymore.
No, and those shocks we made are still out there on my friend John's farm. He had a quarter inch of rain yesterday. I see Manawa had 0.3 inches as well, and there's still going to be some rain, especially in the south this morning, and then maybe a slight chance of an afternoon shower or storm. Morning clouds clear out, more sunshine around today, and I'd expect we find our way into the low and mid-80s, and the south winds will be around 5. It's clear tonight, some patchy fog late. Not drying out that much, upper 60s for lows with west breezes at 5. Tomorrow, that chance of a late day storm, mostly sunny and a lot warmer, a lot of upper 80s Tuesday with southwest breezes, partly sunny, upper 80s Wednesday, and that chance of a scattered shower or storm Wednesday could become a bit greater overnight or into Thursday, Stephanie. So we've got a lot of warm, sticky summer weather to talk about.
That's your Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Compere Financial is your partner committed to rural America. You can visit compere.com. Thank you again to Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It'll be going absolutely nowhere in the Republican-controlled House, and there aren't 60 votes in the Senate to pass it either. But President Biden will go to Austin, Texas today to promote Supreme Court reform.
The president would have term limits put in place to end the service of a Supreme Court justice after 18 years. President Biden says that this would help ensure the court's membership regularly changes and that nominations for Supreme Court justices can become more predictable.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. has serious concerns that Venezuela's declaration of President Nicolas Maduro winning another six-year term does not reflect the will of the people. The Electoral Council that declared Maduro the winner is controlled by Maduro. A wildfire burning north of Chico, California, is now the seventh largest in state history. It's burning at a rate of 5,000 acres per hour. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is introducing a bill to protect communities from sudden hospital closures. As James Kelly reports, it's a response to what happened in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls this year.
The new legislation is meant to protect communities from the sudden closure of essential hospitals. If passed into law, a closing hospital system would be required to notify the Department of Health and Human Services and develop a plan with public input to connect patients with accessible care. The notification would be required at least 90 days in advance of the closure. I'm James Kelly.
Baldwin is running for re-election against challenger Eric Hovde. emerald ash borers have been found in all 72 Wisconsin counties as of Friday. The tree-killing pest was first spotted in Wisconsin in 2008. The Department of Natural Resources says one day they'll kill virtually all of Wisconsin's ash trees. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Jordan Love on his record-breaking contract. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL in Green Bay. The Packers held practice in pads as training camp enters its second week. Jordan Love completing a 47-yard pass to Christian Watson on his first day back after signing a contract making him the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history. Love told me the talks began back in May. I asked him what was it like when he didn't have a deal at the start of camp.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been the waiting game these past couple of days. I'm just trying to be patient. But knowing that it was going to get done here soon. But yeah, I mean, right after we got done, you know, my agents FaceTimed me and gave me the news and broke to me. So it was a very special day hearing that and just going through the whole motions of, you know, obviously getting a contract, being able to be here, and then just obviously being able to get back on the field with the guys. So it was definitely a very special day.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Atlanta Braves. Colin Ray on the mound for Milwaukee. Devin Williams back as the closer. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, have you heard of the recombobulation area? Well, Dan Schaefer is sitting in the host chair, folks. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 84, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you want to vote this fall and you're not registered, it's time to get busy. 15 states require a citizen to register 30 days prior to an election, and a recent study showed 9% of Americans don't have ready access to the documents required. Here's what you need. First, you'll need to prove that you're a resident of the state and that you'll be 18 years old by election day. In most states, this can be as easy as showing a driver's license or eligible photo ID. Some states require a residency of up to 30 days before you register, so if you've just moved, check out your state's rules. Second, you'll need to prove where you live. Utility bills, apartment leases, car registrations, property tax bills, or bank statements are often allowable proof. Students may need to show tuition statements or a student ID. Third, you'll need to prove that you're a citizen of the United States. Typically, that means showing a birth certificate, valid U.S. passport, or naturalization papers. The Brennan Center for Justice recently found that over 21 million Americans don't have ready access to proof of citizenship documents. Many states offer registration options beyond going in person to a municipal or county clerk's office, including online registration and at the DMV. We'll discuss the perils of Election Day registration next week. We've linked to the rules and options for your state at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah. It really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back on a Monday morning. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. Don't forget to follow along with us on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report. This is a good time of year to be on Facebook because now we can see how many people are harvesting out of their gardens and what they're getting and what we might end up getting on our front porch. I am noticing more and more photos this time of year of beautiful cucumbers, really good tomatoes. But once your counter or your windowsill fills up with those ripe vegetables, what are you going to do with all of it? A recommendation from the Old Farmer's Almanac is to actually stew them into a ratatouille, then freeze them into several portions. So ratatouille is actually a traditional French dish, so that's fitting as the Olympics are currently underway in Paris. Also in the Old Farmer's Almanac this morning, it looks like today is the day to get your hair cut and colored. This is according to where the moon is sitting today. And after you get a fresh look, July 29th also happens to be a good day to ask for a loan. I'll tell you what, it does not look like the best day to be outside. In South Central and Eastern Wisconsin, we're expecting showers, thunderstorms paired with gusty winds and small hail. I'm signed up to golf in the Wisconsin Soybean Association outing today. I'm really hoping that that forecast dodges us. On the western side of the state, the risk of showers is more isolated or not there at all. The clouds in the forecast this week might make your fishing experience more fun. Fish tend to be more active in low light conditions, but aquaculture in Wisconsin can make the fishing experience fun no matter the conditions. Ben Jarbo takes us to a fish farm in southeast Wisconsin.
One of the most targeted fish in the spring is the rainbow trout, but one business in Palmyra turns it into a year-round frenzy. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report with Peter Fritsch, the president and owner of Rushing Waters Trout Farm, here to explain more about their business and what the process of growing these fish entails.
So our philosophy, really, since I've been here, which now is 27 years, is, you know, trying to do the right thing. So all of our fish grown on site, we're chemical free, all natural, no antibiotics. There's no chemicals, there's no hormones. We've got 56 ponds on site where we're, you know, we do our own hatching, we raise the fish, and we're in control of the quality from day one.
What is the type of ecosystem in the ponds? Do you have special plants that you put in there to help with the water quality?
So we allow Mother Nature to really lead the charge. We try to mimic her actual setting in the wild. So our ponds have natural algae, weeds, healthy bacteria to help clean the water. All this acts as a natural filter with insects and invertebrates, which is also a good food source for our trout. So really, we're trying to just mimic an ecosystem that's natural and healthy, just like the natural one that we live in.
So you said you have 56 ponds. How many fish go into each of these ponds?
So on the farm, we've got 56 ponds. About 44 are full of trout, and then we keep everything by size. You know, one thing you learn early on as a fish farmer is you can't mix your little baby fish with your big fish. For the fishermen out there listening, you know why. You do that once, it's a mistake. So all of our ponds are kept by size, and then they move through the system by size. So we have to grade our fish probably 2 to 3 times through a life cycle so we try to maintain that same size variation. Otherwise, predation and cannibalism will take control.
With that many fish, you obviously have have to feed them. What is it that you're feeding them to be able to feed that many fish?
So besides the natural bugs and invertebrates that are in the ponds, we have to give them a pellet diet. So we have a commercial diet. And, you know, the good news is now we are using a lot more domestic soybeans. So about 50% of our diet is a high protein soybean meal concentrate. Still fish meal and fish oil. The trout are carnivores. They want that. That's like an attractant almost. But it's very great. And one thing we talk about as farmers is the feed conversion ratio. And that's where aquaculture can really shine. On our farm here, we have an FCR of about 1.3 pounds of food will grow 1 pound of fish. That's pretty good.
Could you run me through the process of growing the fish from the hatchery all the way to where they're ready to harvest or be fished for?
So on the farm, we will start in our hatchery. We have two hatcheries on farm where we'll hatch our eggs. Now, we buy fertilized eggs from another farm. It's not unlike other animal agriculture where sometimes, you know, a laying operation might get chicks or, you know, a calving operation for cattle. So we buy eggs, we hatch in the hatchery, they spend about 6 weeks in some little trays, and then they go into tanks where they're fed for about the first 6 to 7 months. After 6-7 months, they come outside. We will harvest at about a pound, and usually it takes about 15 to 16 months. So it takes a while to get, you know, a 1 pound fish to harvest. But again, with that good feed conversion ratio and just taking care of the animal, we can turn them pretty good.
You guys also offer people to catch their own trout and get them filleted here. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Most of what we're doing here is the commercial side. So we're selling to retailers and restaurants throughout the Midwest. But for the public, we are open actually 7 days a week. Yeah, we've got a farm store on site. You can come on out and buy our fresh fish, our smoked fish, some of our favorites like our smoked trout spread, smoked salmon spread, all available 7 days a week. And as you mentioned, the fishing. We have a fishing park where you can bring your family and friends out. We have all the gear. We give you the worms and we give you, you know, everything you need. You catch them. We will then clean them for you, put them on ice. It's a lot of fun. No license is needed. And honestly, it's fun for us to see people just enjoying Mother Nature and catching fish.
To go along with that, about how many people a year would you guess come visit to do their own fishing, catch their own fish?
That's a great question. We get a lot of visitors. You know, during the summertime, we've got people traveling on a daily basis. We'll have people on a good weather day. People come from Chicago. They come from Madison, Milwaukee. You know, we're only an hour from those cities in Wisconsin. So, you know, we might get anywhere from 10 to 30 people a day. On a weekend, we could have 100 people up here. So during the course of a summer, I've never thought of it that way, but it's quite popular. We have to restock our fishing pond a few times a year.
Peter Fritsch telling us more about how you can get a great trout fishing experience all year. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Ben posted pictures of his catch while he was there. You can follow along with us at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook to see those. Coming up, Wisconsin Farm Technology Days calls in with what you can look forward to at the show August 13th through the 15th in Cadott. There's also a way you can save a few bucks on tickets. And we'll take a look at how markets are moving next.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
Join the Midwest Farm Report and Pam Yonke as she kicks off Wisconsin Farm Technology Days at the Oxbow exhibit on August 13th at 9 a.m. in booth 347. Oxbow is a leader in harvesting and application technology. Visit oxbow.com.
The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will also be broadcasting at 11:30 a.m. in booth 520 on 5th Street with Rural Mutual Insurance. Learn how the number one farm insurer is keeping Wisconsin strong with premiums paid here that stay here. Visit ruralmutual.com.
www.scienceofwisconsin.com. Hey, Wisconsin. This year's statewide science festival is featuring agriculture, and we need your help. The Science Festival is a free event that reaches all corners of the state and showcases technology, engineering, and more to 40,000 people of all ages. The festival is looking for individuals and organizations to host or volunteer at these events. This year's festival will be held in more than 50 counties from October 14th through the 20th. Visit WisconsinScienceFest.org to sign up to help today. From Chicago, commodity prices are starting the week off in the red. Cash corn is down a penny and a quarter at $3.93 and a quarter. December new crop corn is down a penny and a half at $4.08 and a half. Cash soybeans are trading down 24 cents at $10.53 and a half. November new crop beans are down 14 cents at $10.34 and a half. And cash and new crop wheat is trading down 3.5 cents at $5.20 a bushel. The August Class 3 milk contract is down 8 cents at $20.28 a hundredweight. The September Class 3 milk contract is down 9 cents at $21.31 a hundredweight. That's what commodity prices are doing to start the week. The conversation takes an optimistic turn as we hear from Wisconsin Farm Technology Days next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown. And never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it. And never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot to take a look at the weather for the week ahead. Then Rob Domofsky of ESPN joins us and tell us all about Packer Camp. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Now, Anna, I think this is the first time the Music Grounds have seen a farm show instead of a concert. What led the planning committee to this location?
Well, the local committee up there made the decision where to go. They liked that there was a lot of on-site facilities that made it a little bit easier, but they were adjacent to close farms. So all of the field demos could take place right next to the showgrounds. We are in the North Campground at Country Fest. I mean, Country Fest has been great to work with, so they've been wonderful. But I think that's, you know, the infrastructure being close to, like, Highway 27, I think all of those things made the decision to go to the Country Fest grounds.
Close Farms is, you know, one of the hosts of this show. We'll be using the fields for field demonstrations. You mentioned drones are going to be a part of that. What other field demos can we look forward to?
The field demos are going to consist a lot of hay production, and then there's going to be some tillage and seeding. So people will be able to see the whole operation of producing hay today with different companies showing their advanced equipment. And then they'll be able to see tillage and seeding. So,
you know, agriculture is one of those industries that's constantly innovating, constantly moving forward. And that is something that Wisconsin Farm Technology Days always showcases. Anna, in addition to kind of a unique location this year, what other new things can people expect to see from this year's show?
Well, we have trying to have something for all ages. So for our youth activity, we have started something last year called the Youth Agriculture Adventure. And so families, when they arrive, it's geared to kids 5 through 12, but it could be other ages could participate. But it's where kids with their parents use a passport, travel through the show to different locations, and try out different activities. So they're going to be able to learn about beef and beef byproducts. They're going to learn about hydroponics from the Chippewa Falls FFA. They're going to learn about farm safety at the Progressive Agriculture Foundation. They'll get to try out archery at the 4-H shooting sports booth. The DNR is always there. They have activities for kids to learn about everything from water to natural resources to wildlife. We'll have an area where they can actually do a drone obstacle course. So that will be kind of fun. And we're going to learn about soil. So there's all sorts of things that we have for that age group. And then for those older generations who like to come to the show, there will be antique tractors in the Discovery Square in the center of the show. So they'll be able to come in and look at those and reminisce of days gone by. And then there's lots of companies showing solar. Solar is a big thing this year. Newer, smaller equipment. There's a lot of, I mean, you're always exciting to look at the big things, but in practicality, we have a lot of rural landowners that have smaller operations, maybe do farming on the side. So we do have quite a few displays of those sorts of equipment, compact tractors and that sort of thing. So I think there's just about something for everyone.
The Discovery Square. Now that sounds like Innovation Square. So that must be something new.
Right. So they wanted to try to highlight maybe some unique types of agriculture that are happening in your area. So they do have Pondview Lavender Farm that's going to be in that area. We've got organic waste management. They take farm waste products and convert that into fertilizer. And so they're trying to show different ways that people are using agriculture in Wisconsin. We're going to have a sheep display there that's going to have different breeds of sheep so people can learn about the differences between the sheep and that. So, yeah, so I would ask people to check that area out and see what they learn about agriculture in Chippewa County.
Something that was new last year that is continuing this year is what people can find to eat at the show. The food trucks are making an appearance again. Can you give us a quick overview of what we can expect to have for lunch?
So we have 19 food trucks that will be lining Food Truck Alley, which is kind of a center main road on the grounds. And they can get everything from, you know, their normal favorites, their mini donuts and their, you know, ice cream and those sorts of things. And then they have the main food. Let me just find my list here and share some of these with you. Big Daddy's Grub with Tex-Mex is going to be there. Ponytail Pizza is going to be there. Any Street Grill with burgers and hot dogs and cheese curds. We also have Get Her Done Catering. They're going to have a quarter chicken dinner, Philly cheesesteaks. So I think you can just get about anything that you want, from cookies to kettle corn to nuts. So it'll be there.
Anna, before I let you go, I want to remind guests that there is another opportunity for them. If they plan ahead, they can save money on tickets if they purchase online.
Yes, tickets online can be purchased at our website, which is wifarmtechdays.org. And you save $3 off a ticket. You can buy a ticket there for $12. At the gate, tickets are $15.
Anna Maynor, along with us, the general manager at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. The exhibitor space is at max capacity, so there's going to be so much to see. And as we heard from Anna, there's going to be activities and food for the whole family. Visit wifarmtechdays.com to get your tickets today. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days is August 13th through the 15th in Cadott. Your hosts this year, Close Farms and the Chippewa Valley Music Festival Grounds. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for tagging along with me on a Monday. Charity Seebecker takes over tomorrow morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The start of a week-long series on strategic risk management on the farm, next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Some tips for strategic risk management on the farm from ag economists at Purdue University. Jim Mintert says most risks are external.
Government policy changes, geopolitical conflicts, disease for animal agriculture, but also for crop agriculture as well. Changes in consumer preferences, that's kind of a longer-term strategic risk, but it's certainly one that many farms could be exposed to. Shifting long-term weather patterns, and then technological uncertainties.
Mintert says all are out of the farmer's control.
Managing strategic risk does not require that you accurately forecast that a particular risk is going to occur. That's impossible. It's really about positioning your farm to successfully manage through a variety of strategic risks that might occur.
Brady Brewer says two things make farms able to withstand risk. One is agility.
This is the farm's ability to quickly identify and capture the business opportunities as they come up. And the second is absorption capacity, which is a farm's ability to withstand shocks from these strategic risks. So in other words, if one of these exogenous shocks happen, weather event, trade war, what's the ability of your farm to withstand these shocks to the agricultural economy?
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the organization Parents as Teachers, what that would mean for you, mom and dad, and your kids. Plus, all the news from the weekend, we'll recap it. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Mino and the Mayor.
How do you keep your water for your bird feeder? You have those little motors that go in there, those little fans.
I didn't put those in yet.
Does your bird feeder freeze? Does your bird bath freeze?
Jim, do you remember giving him that as a gift?
You know
you
what?
You gave him that
I
as a gift.
I did. I gave you that. You've never used it. I want it back.
In the winter, the birds use it as a little skating rink.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden.